With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny. What Jason LaConfora said about Dan Snyder trying to pry Todd Bowles away from an offer from Tampa Bay at 12:18 and at 12:45. We'll spin you around the National Football League. Before we talk Caps, let's talk Senior Bowl. J.P. Finley covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. J.P. Bruce Allen speaks today. He will talk. It's like a holiday around here. How did this come about, do you think?
He's talked at the Senior Bowl before. I think it was 2 years ago. Brian McNally and I kind of bumped into him in the parking lot, and he agreed to do an impromptu conversation with us. And I know 3 years ago he's talked, so it's not that out of the ordinary, but for Bruce to speak is a big deal in and of itself. And I know there's a handful of beat people down here in Mobile, and it'll be good to just – here's the thing with Bruce Allen. He is a pretty gifted kind of politician in a way, in that he's going to answer all our questions, and he's not going to say a heck of a lot.
Well, he's going to answer none of your questions. He's going to speak after
right.
You ask questions.
It'll be his turn to talk.
But
yeah.
It's still good to get him on the record commenting about something.
Yeah,
you know?
I was talking to Craig about this, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Like, the fact that he's talking at the Senior Bowl, it's hard when you say all the time that he needs to talk, and then he talks, to not give him some credit. So I will do that. But this is not good enough. He didn't do a State of the Union. He's not sitting at a podium inviting people that want to come out to Ashburn from any of the outlets in town to talk. They didn't even tell the reporters and the people that cover them all the time, say Michael Phillips or someone like that, that he's going to talk at the Senior Bowl so that they could get down there. I think that this is kind of a really kind of low-rent way to do this, but he's talking, so I have to take it and live with it.
Well, I'd say I think it's better that he's doing this here. I mean, typically he only does one-on-ones at owners' meetings. And,
well, only
you know, whoever travels
companies.
Out.
We didn't get one of those.
I mean, he's done them with most folks. I know he's done them with 106.7 in the past. Did Hoff not get one last year?
No, he refused to do it. And the year before that as well.
He did it with McNally. I know that.
Because McNally told him he was going to be fired if he didn't after 3 days of him saying he wouldn't do it.
Dude, I'm not defending the procedure,
yeah.
Man. I think this is better in that there will be more than one person asking questions at once. I think the more voices you can get during one of these situations is better. Should there be a presser in Ashburn? Absolutely. Are they going to do it? It sure doesn't seem like it.
Jim Palmer Finley, what is your number one question? Like, what's the thing that you got to walk away getting an answer to? Even though we all know you won't get an answer, but what's the thing that's burning a hole in your pocket?
I mean, the tough part is knowing you're not going to get an answer, but on what level can they defend the status quo? Bruce told me last year that everybody in Ashburn is judged on wins and losses, and the just looking at the record book, you don't have to get into any of the salacious stuff, into any of the firings or misdeeds of various degrees, right? But the record isn't good enough, and how can they justify staying the course?
JP, let's get to the most important thing about this trip. When are you going to the Brick Pit, my friend?
I just ran into Mike Jones and already asked him if he's been. He said he has not, so today is kind of a swamped day, but I think that will be lunch tomorrow. And I might go early and like 10 a.m. early, and
now
just so I make sure I get in there.
Make a play.
Are you once a Senior Bowl Brick Pit guy, or will you run it back a second time? For people that don't know, tell them a little bit about the Brick Pit.
It's literally a brick pit. It's I have no idea where it is. It's somewhere down here in Mobile. Fantastic barbecue. There's a line running out the door, and as soon as they open, and it's what a lot of these like Southern barbecue places is just open till they run out of food and then they close. So you got to make sure
bit.
You get there.
Great bit. It's
and
so good.
The food is fantastic. You walk through and it's like anybody who's somebody that has been down in these parts has signed the wall or left a picture of themselves on the wall. And one of my favorite things walking through there is a big picture of Chris Samuels with his autograph, but not from his Redskins days, from his University of Alabama days.
John Paxson, Finley, appreciate the time. Enjoy Alabama, my friend, and eat so much for those of us that
can't. And can we get a screen grab pic of your Brick Pit meal when you eat it? I know that Danny's
sure.
anti-pictures of food.
I don't think we should do that as a society.
I need to live through you. I miss
go
that.
For it.
I will post it on Twitter at you guys, and I'll even text it to Danny just because he doesn't want it.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy about that.
Much appreciated.
You're going to be so salty.
Thank you,
Thank
pal.
You, JP.
Thanks, fellas. See ya.
Absolutely. Let's talk some puck.
Chris Russell joins us to do that very thing. Russell, the problem with players-only meetings are the players that got you into the need for a players-only meeting or the players at the players-only meeting. The Caps stink right now, and those players are the same.
Christopher?
Working. Yep, there you are.
Hi.
You guys got me now?
Yeah,
good, yeah, yeah, go.
Hi. Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good summation. Everybody stinks right now, quite honestly, from head to toe. You know, the offensive guys, Grant and I talked about that yesterday. I talked about that on my show yesterday on the station. Everybody's kind of struggling in a lot of different ways. It goes all throughout the lines. Todd Reirden is trying to juggle things up, trying to move guys around, trying to spur life, trying to get guys woken up, if you will. And then on defense, it's been atrocious. Really, during this five-game losing streak, I mean, I blame a lot of it on the defense. Clearly, that's easy to see Sunday in Chicago, but it goes beyond that. Yeah, Friday they weren't bad, but they still allowed a couple of grade-A chances to the Islanders in a 2-0 loss. Before that, against Nashville and against Columbus, they were and St. Louis, they were really, really bad in their own zone, and even in the neutral zone where they're allowing, again, these stretch passes and these two-on-ones and these odd man breaks. You do that tonight against a team as talented and now hungry like San Jose, who themselves are struggling, you're going to be in trouble.
Russell, when should we start to be more than a little concerned?
I would say you should be a little bit concerned now. I would say you should be very much concerned if they lose both tonight against San Jose and tomorrow night, tough one, against Austin Matthews and Johnny Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And while that's not probably fair, you can't go into the bye week, the All-Star break, losing 7 in a row, especially if, again, some of these same problems continue to persist. So I would say you should be really concerned after that. I would say you should be mildly or somewhat concerned now. They've got to fix this. If they get one of these two starting tonight with a team that's off of a back-to-back, meaning San Jose, again, they've lost 3 in a row. They played last night in Florida. They gave up 6 goals, 2 in 9 seconds. They're without Erik Karlsson, one of their best players, if not their best player. To me, this is a game that the Capitals have to and should win.
Russell, this is reminding me of what happened to TJ Oshie. When Oshie got that concussion and he came back, he was like fine to come back, but he just wasn't himself for a while. He looked sluggish and slow, et cetera, for an extended period. I think we're getting a repeat of that with Evgeny Kuznetsov. He just has not been the same guy. He got off to a blistering start, was great, had those power play goals and, you know, whatever it was, 21 points in 18 games. I forget the exact numbers. He just hasn't been the same guy. He looks like he doesn't want to be out there at times. He's kind of just skating through not to get hit. I don't blame you because it's a significant injury, obviously, but what's going on there? He's been on the third line. It looks like the second line tonight. What's your assessment of 92?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to, you know, probably put something together when he scores that game-tying goal against Columbus late last Saturday night, which ironically was the start of this five-game losing streak. And since then, he's really done nothing. So it's been this long stretch. I still contend, and I know people in the media still contend, that this team is just mentally and physically tired. It's been a lot of hockey. It's been a lot of grind. We all know they partied hard during this summer, when you can sometimes see, you know, the I guess light at the end of the tunnel and an 8 or 9 day break, sometimes you just take the foot off the gas pedal. I'm not suggesting that's all for Kuznetsov. We know he can be streaky. We know he can be dynamic when he's really engaged. I don't think it's a health thing, but I mean, can we honestly sit here and say he's 100%? No, probably that would be the wrong thing. But that doesn't speak for Kuznetsov and everyone else kind of struggling at the same time. It's not one guy. It's six or seven or eight guys that are kind of combined kind of struggling. Oh, and by the way, they've got to start winning some faceoffs. That'll help.
Slasherini, you are a sweetheart. It was good hearing you yesterday. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Tal. Good to see you.
I was painting a room in my house yesterday.
Yeah, you were.
Getting paint all over me while Chris Russell was on via Alexa right around the corner, just breaking it down. He had someone on from New Orleans who he was talking to about the officiating in New Orleans. It was one of the funniest interviews I've ever heard.
A New Orleans guy that probably had a very reasonable right-down-the-line take.
She writes about the Saints. It was just a comical interview. I'll explain why as soon as we go to break here in a moment.
I like it.
It was hilarious.
A lot of dump button usage?
No dump buttons. She was very good on air. It was just I'll just tell you on air.
Okay.
He built her up like he was talking to Adam Schefter. I've never heard of this person. And he like introduced her. I couldn't believe it. Honestly, it's so funny. We should play the audio, but we have a ban on like that on this show because everyone else makes fun of Chris Russell, so I don't like to do it. His intro to that segment, it was incredible.
Yeah, this
he acted like
I know.
He was like Edward R. Murrow's coming on. And it was just, it's like, and this lady's probably so nice. I don't know her at all. He may be friends with her, and it was like, honestly, you'd have thought he had Lester Holt on his show.
She invented the medium of broadcasting. I remember once
it
years
sounds
ago.
Like I'm being a jerk about her. She did a good job,
right?
But then when he brought her on, it was like she does this and she does this and she does this, and she was the pool reporter. And 2 minutes went by. And I'm just like, where is she? Is she coming on the air or not?
It's funny you say that because years ago, I don't know why this stuck out of my mind, but I guess he'd worked with somebody that was in Buffalo at one point, right? He's got some upstate New York type stuff. I think this guy like wrote for the team website or something. Like he was just a dude.
But
right?
Here's what it is: he is such a nice guy.
He's so nice.
People don't know this. They think Chris Russell's like some angry maniac.
No,
he is the nicest, sweetest-hearted man. He really is. But he's too nice. So like, he'll bring me on to the post-game show. I do a show from 10 to 2 on this station, okay? Here's what you should say. Grant Paulson's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. You hear him from 10 to 2 on the Fan. Grant, what'd you think of the game? He'll say, he writes for The Athletic. You see him on NBC Sports Washington.
The five-time defending exactly. WWE
like,
champion.
He used to work at Fox, and before that, he appeared on this show and was on David Letterman. It's so nice that he does that. It's all unnecessary. His build-ups to guests are unbelievable.
Not as unbelievable as a maniac he is about running the football, but sure, he is very kind to everybody.
He's a sweethearted man. And I think what he was just doing was, I took a class in college about public speaking.
Sure.
You have to establish ethos and credibility.
Got to establish credibility.
So maybe he's just putting her over, but I'm telling you, if you heard it, I'm going to grab the podcast and let you hear it in the break. You would have thought, like, Peter Gammons was his childhood hero, and he got to talk to him for the first time. I'm literally painting, like shaking my head, like what is he doing? Anyway, I love Chris, and now I feel bad because I'm as bad as everybody else.
There you are, 12:15, and so, you just did it.
I'm a hypocrite. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Jason Lockonfora on Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, and how Todd Bowles almost became a Redskins coach. Next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for listening to the show, as always. Jason Lockonfora was on the show yesterday. I want to play you some of the audio from that interview here in a moment. But, Danny, you have not even gotten a chance to chime in on this yet.
No.
So I had my fill yesterday. I sat down, and I ate, and then I got up, and I watched TV, and then I ate seconds on this. Dan Snyder decided, above Jay Gruden's head, Todd Bowles was going to be the defensive coordinator of the Redskins. So he brings him to Redskins Park on his jet and tries to talk him into the job. The report from CBS and Lockonfora over the weekend was that he would do anything that Bowles wanted. We'll make him one of the highest paid coaches in the league. We'll restructure the front office if it took that. And his source even told him, I think joking, but the point was, just to show how badly Dan Snyder wanted Todd Bowles, a former Redskin, that if Bowles would have asked to be the head coach, he would have said, okay, let's do that.
Unbelievable.
Guy was 24-40 with the Jets, won 5-5-4 games the last 3 years.
Now, I'm a Todd Bowles fan, by the way, both on the fact that he played for the Redskins and won a Super Bowl, The other is a head coach. I think he's gotten the rawest of raw deals with a Jets bear cupboard where they were, you know, bloated and overrated, didn't have particularly good talent on either side of the ball with a couple stars that we know. And then they went with a rookie quarterback and rebuilt, and surprise, the record wasn't very good. So he was kind of the sacrificial lamb. I think that's a good head coach. The only time where you go, they've got some of the worst talent in football, and he got them to a tough competitive 6-10 a couple seasons ago. That to me is good coaching. I think he's a good coach, and I think he'll succeed at his next stop with Bruce Arians. But all that aside, I don't care if he's Bill Walsh reincarnated. You can't do it this way. Stop it. This is so wrong on so many levels. You have already done the thing where you have neutered and cut the legs out of now a defensive coordinator, but vis-a-vis your head coach, this is the bad version of Dan Snyder, the guy that gets fed up, that decides he needs to be involved, and instead of doing the thing that he should be doing by getting involved, which is going to find a football man to make all the football decisions, he knows best, and he gasses up Redskins 1. Someone hide his keys, for God's sakes. The naked emperor needs to be stopped. He's on a rampage.
A caller called in yesterday and defended him, by the way. A caller called in, I hadn't heard this one in a while, and basically said, you guys are mean to Dan Snyder. All he wants to do is win.
It's not all he wants.
And I actually do believe that he does want to win.
I don't, by the way. I think he'd like to win. Because if you were that desperate, you'd do what you're supposed to do. You'd try it one way and go, oh, my God, this doesn't work, and you'd fix it immediately.
But, and then that's kind of my point, really, that I got to with the caller was, I don't care if he wants to win or not. I think they just wrote this up on thefandc.com. But this guy goes, all he wants is to win football. Well, let's assume that premise is correct, because I do think he's desperate to win. I think he's a huge fan. I think it pains him that they lose. It doesn't matter if you don't do what you have to do to win. If I want to weigh 180 pounds, but I just keep eating fast food and desserts at every restaurant I go to, I can wish to be 180 all I want to. Who cares? If I want to do something and I do nothing correctly to get there, you're going to feel bad for me that I don't accomplish my goal? I want to get number one in the ratings. I'd love to get number one. I'm going to show up late for shows. I'm not going to do any research or homework at night. I'm not going to do any work to actually achieve what I want, but I really want to be number one.
Yeah, that's why I say he'd like to. I think the Wizards would like to win, but you do something correctly. You either do it correctly or you don't. I don't care how much you'd like to. Either everything you do is about winning football, or you keep Bruce Allen in charge.
One of the things that he does, other than keeping Bruce Allen in charge, that makes it very hard to win, is that he steps over the line that is drawn for him in good cultures. The owner doesn't tell the coach who his defensive coordinator should be. Apparently, that's what he wanted to do this offseason. This was Jason LaConfora on the show yesterday. He had the report on CBS this weekend that Snyder put the full court press on Todd Bowles. Here's what LaConfora said, you know, about them wanting Bowles badly.
Absolutely. Sending the plan for him, flying down, not wanting him to leave without a contract, making it clear to him that, hey, I'm malleable on a bunch of different issues here. If I could get you in the building and it was not so much a Jay Gruden operation. This was a Dan Snyder operation. And, Dan Snyder, I'm told, took a lot of heat from various alumni and even Joe Gibbs in the past for not considering Todd Bowles as a head coach, you know, and going after him at various times. And he obviously wants to clean that defense up, and they were clearly looking to make what they believe would have been an upgrade, you know, had they been able to get Bowles or Williams. Todd Bowles is a smart dude. He could sense that this is not the right time or place for me, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on in that front office, and I'm getting sort of pursued by the owner, but not so much by the head coach. It doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out that if you're, possibly willing to pay Todd Bowles $3 million a year to come in and run your defense, and you're putting on the full court press to get him in your building, that, maybe he would be the next man up, which would also make sense that it's not Jay Gruden, who's jumping on the plane and flying out to see him. So, yes, you said it, an unusual courtship of a couple of guys, and I'm told Dan Snyder made it clear to Todd Bowles that, if you're not willing to do this, then I'm gonna try to get Greg Williams to listen to me and maybe come here and fix things for me as well. That obviously didn't happen either. Greg ended up taking working something out with the Jets before he ever actually jumped on a plane and made it to his visit to DC. But an unusual look. I mean, things are it's sort of par for the course, I guess, in Ashburn, but certainly an unusual ending to the season and an unusual start to the offseason.
That was Jason LaConfora on the show yesterday. So the Redskins did everything they could. They ran the full court press, and then Bulls beat the press and went to Tampa Bay with a slam dunk, as I said yesterday.
So they sort of did, right? I mean, Dan Snyder's the one doing it. So that, to me, would scare the hell out of me if I was anybody that might or might not want to be hired.
You think?
Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
And he said, no, thank you.
Yeah, I would run the other direction.
He said, I'm not doing this. I don't care if you're making me a higher paid coach than I would have been elsewhere. I don't care if you're paying me close to what I was making at the beginning of my career with the Jets. No, I'm not coming here.
Yeah, I'm not setting foot in this toxic waste dump that you call a facility.
Next, you'll hear what LaConfora said about Bruce Allen, though. He asks a great question, and this is something you and I should talk about. He asks basically how different Bruce Allen right now at this point is than Vinny Serrato at the end of his run with Washington. Are they any better off? Is he any better at what he does? Which is crazy to think about. It's something we've brought up in the past. You'll hear that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson for my friends over at Quip. GetQuip.com/Grant is where you've got to go. You made a resolution. You're trying to stick to it, right? Oral health is important for all of us. Add that to the pile this January. People are brushing too hard. Some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. Quip fixes that with sensitive sonic vibrations. Maybe you are one of the 90% of people that don't brush for a full 2 minutes. Two-minute timer pulses. Fix that. Perhaps you're one of the people that's got that cluttered sink or cabinet, makes traveling with an electric toothbrush difficult. Well, the multi-use cover that Quip gives you heals that as well. Brush heads are automatically delivered. 75% of us use old, worn-out bristles that are ineffective. Fix your oral health. Do it with Quip at getquip.com/Grant. I love it. 1 million mouths love it. And I've told 100 of my friends within the last few weeks, you got to do this. Why are you waiting? Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Grant right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. It's January. It is time to get your health in order. Start with your teeth. Do it today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chip of Todd Bowles, which he's reporting had very little to do with Jay Gruden and everything to do with Dan Snyder. Let's get into the shuffling of the front office idea, because it came up that Snyder told Bowles, essentially, you're boys with a guy in our building. If you want to report directly to him, we'll make that happen. Again, from a cultural standpoint, this is bad.
This is so bad.
I'm going over the coach's head. I'm going to hire you to be on his staff. He's going into a potential lame duck year anyway. Maybe you'll be the future head coach. Maybe you won't. But in the meantime, if you don't want to report to the highest ranking official in our front office, you can report to somebody else.
Yeah, he knows that Todd and Doug Williams have a relationship. And so, you know, I'm told things were on the table, like, hey, if we can bring you in here, then, you know, maybe he would be, you know, going through Doug rather than going through Bruce. There were certainly some hypotheticals. The way it was explained to me is that pretty much everything was on the table, at least in terms of a topic of discussion, and that Dan Snyder made it clear he was willing to consider some things and move people around and sort of alter the structure there if need be to make it happen. The problem is, like, whatever you make Bruce Allen's title, we all know that he's got a direct line to ownership and he's going to express what he wants to express. And, you know, you could try to play press release games of, oh, well, now he's got this title or that title. But the reality is, as long as he's in that building, a lot of very smart, established, good coaches are not going to want anything to do with it.
Weird that there's so much friction between coaches and executives.
Uh-huh.
When certain guys are allowed to report to certain people based on whatever it takes to get you into the building.
Oh, it's so bad. Larry David on Curb Enthusiasm coined a term for this. I'd never heard it before. The foist. What Dan Snyder wanted to do was foist Todd Bowles upon Jay Gruden, who had no interest in necessarily going to get Todd Bowles. Now, I happen to like, again, I've already said this. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I like Todd Bowles and wish he was the defensive coordinator. I would take him 1,000 times over Greg Winooski. But the point is, you already, just by doing this process, have announced, I don't trust the head coach. I don't trust our defensive coordinator. These guys are now powerless, and I'm waiting to fire them.
You're doing
waiting
more
for them
damage.
To quit. You're doing damage.
By creating a way of business that is flawed, than you are by upgrading a defensive coordinator by a little bit. The analogy I used yesterday was, you could drive home from a bar drunk and get home. And if you get home, you didn't hurt anybody. You still shouldn't have done it, right? You get Todd Bowles as your defensive coordinator. That's good. You still shouldn't have hired them the way that you did. You still should have said to Jay Gruden, I want Todd Bowles. Go make that happen. That's how that's supposed to work. Or you just sit it out and let Jay Gruden get the defensive coordinator that he wants. But if you get home when you drove drunk, you're probably going to do it again. You've empowered anyone else in the building, by the way, that has to do something like that on their level of decision-making. If Bruce wants to hire a linebackers coach and he says, you don't have to deal with Jay, just deal with me and let me know what you need and we'll make sure you get it. You've created an entire system
There's
that is utterly flawed.
Now,
But speaking of Bruce Allen, this was my favorite part of the conversation with Lockenfora. We got into whether or not Dan Snyder knows how bad the perception of Allen is around the league. Everybody around the league looks at the Redskins and says, how, this many years later, are they still running it this way? How is he still empowered to run their football operation? So I asked Lockenfora, basically, on the Allen front, if Dan knows that everybody thinks that Bruce Allen shouldn't still have this post.
I don't know how you would be unaware of it. I mean, I don't know how you could own a football team, and even if you tried to keep your head in the sand, I mean, how often are you guys talking about Bruce Allen on the radio? You know, even if he's not listening, he's not reading, he's living in a cocoon, osmosis, whatever, he has to know. There'd be no way not to know. And
but I mean, Jason, to the level that, I mean, you're way more plugged in than I am. Every person I talk to around the league laughs at the situation they've got. I wonder if he knows what the actual perception of Bruce Allen is to the extent that it is in other front offices.
Well, I think we were at the same place 10 years ago when he finally let Vinny go. I mean, is this really that different? I mean, is it really any different? I mean, is it just history repeating? I mean, we know that Dan loyalty and, like, he will fall in love, I won't even say with the person, but with the relationship with the person, with the power structure, with what he feels like he's getting out of that equation, and he'll be willing to stick with it above and beyond what logic would dictate and what wins and losses would dictate and what money down the drain would dictate. I just think it goes beyond sort of rational explanation. It's about loyalty and a feeling and emotion and the reality that I think sometimes he likes to have that person around because they take a lot of the arrows that don't go directly to Dan.
Is this that different than Vinny Serrato years ago?
This is the point we've made.
Is it any different? Is it just history repeating? The nickname for years on this show we've called Bruce Allen is socially acceptable Vinny Serrato. But from a football standpoint, he said, is it just history repeating? Isn't that an amazing question?
It's very apt, and the answer is yes. This is the same. Because Bruce Allen's record is worse, by the way. He's had more disasters than if you just count, you know, the daily disaster tracker, he's had more than has Vinny Serrato. And at least Vinny Serrato, now it was mockable and it should have been mocked. I mean, at least he was out in public. He was hosting a radio show for a while. Ask the GM. And that, of course, quickly went away. But at least there were public comments. He would speak. Now Bruce hides in his office under the desk with the lights off, waiting for everybody to pass by, like the Terminators in the police station. To me, it's more embarrassing now than it was then. And I know that's hard for some folks to swallow, because as embarrassing as Vinny Serrato was and out of touch as he was, this was supposed to be an adult. That's why I always go back to this. This was supposed to be a fix, a departure from that, and it's worse in so many ways because the guy's empowered. Everyone knows that he's a joke except for the guys that need to know that he's a joke.
Thought the segment was really good. You should podcast at thefandc.com, grantandanny.com/audio. Here's the question for you on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines right now, though. Going back to the fact that the report states that Dan Snyder tried to hire Todd Bowles without really Jay Gruden's involvement at all. Are you surprised, and what do you think of that? Number one. Number two, had they have gotten Bowles, knowing that that's how it went down, would you have still been happy, or would you have said, doesn't matter, the way we got here makes it impossible to ever do anything correctly? Because that's how I would have taken it, but I think some people might have said, all that matters is you got better at defensive coordinator, and you did. 800-636-1067. Want to hear from Redskins fans on this next. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan, scheduled to be joined by Nate Davis of the United States of America today at 1 p.m. Question of the moment, 800-636-1067. Had Todd Bowles agreed to terms after Dan Snyder put on the Nolan Richardson mid-90s Arkansas 40 minutes of hell pressure with Redskins 1 flying oot in a boot, bringing him in, saying, you be my defensive coordinator, you'll report directly to me or some other kind of cockamamie structure. Would you have said, good, they upgraded from Greg Minuski? Or would you have said, like me, hint, hint, spoiler alert, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. Yet another good coach will be made bad by a ridiculous, unclear, muddled power structure and the meddling of a disconnected boob who can't get right.
My paradigm has always been that a terrible process leading on accident to the right result still doesn't get you where you need to go, because rewarding a bad process means that eventually you're going to go back to that process. If you do something wrong and it works out, you're willing to try it again. You don't eat right for a couple days, you get on the scale, and somehow you haven't gained any weight or you lost a half pound, you go, last time I did it, it didn't kill me, so why don't we try it again? You know that that was a fluke. You know that that's not normally how it works. Andre is in Alexandria. What do you make of Snyder running the Bowles search the way that he did?
Hey, guys, love the show. I'm a first-time caller.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I had to call in. So I have a couple friends who are coaches in the league, guys I played ball with in college, and nobody respects Dan Snyder. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have gotten a good coach. Todd Bowles would not have come here because he would have saw that, hey, if Dan Snyder does this to a guy he's been with for 4 years, 4 or 5 years, he'll do this to me if I become the head coach.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're not going to get a coach with any kind of experience. All you're going to keep getting is guys who are first-time NFL head coaches that are kind of, I don't want to say desperate, but are like just very happy to get their first head coaching job.
Well,
you know?
think about it, Andre.
Thanks, Trey.
If you're Bowles, good phone call, buddy. Make another one. Appreciate you. You come here, you take the meeting, you'll be wined and dined. You'll let them take you out to Reston Town Center, wherever, you know, in Ashburn they went to for some great meal and got a steak.
Yeah, you've seen how this has gone for other guys, too.
But why not do all that, and if nothing else, make a little more from Tampa Bay, use it as leverage? At no point, I bet you, did he ever consider for a second coming here.
Where do you draw the line? And I'm asking you, because remember we were talking about this with this whole process before we knew this level, by the way. We didn't know it was like this. But this whole process with trying to replace Greg Minuski when he was still on staff, and me going, at a certain point, do the right thing, treat people well,
right,
et cetera. Where does I don't know how to quantify what this is, but where does that line get drawn for you? Because we both agree, I guess, right, that this is too far, right? Dan Snyder doing it this way is wrong.
I don't think these things relate in any capacity. I think the other one is a head coach trying to find a defensive coordinator, which is what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is an owner trying to hire a defensive coordinator that his head coach, according to this report, didn't pick in any regard.
We totally agree.
So that, to me, that the process is awful. The other process, people didn't like how it was going in the sense that they didn't like that Greg Minuski wasn't out of a job yet.
Right, but I remember you said, I just care about getting somebody better.
Exactly.
We both agree that I would like that too. I guess this is obviously beyond the pale. This is so wrong. This is so stupid. Yep. Start moving it back towards where you were kind of okay with the idea, right?
Completely maybe, okay, 100%.
Yeah, fine, you were okay with
because
it.
Because the head coach was hiring his defensive
coordinator.
Because
it was the head coach, that's it. Okay.
Because the guy that's supposed to hire the person was the one doing the hiring.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. My issue with this is less In fact, has nothing to do with the fact that Minuski's still at a job. I don't care about that part. You've seen what happens when you get rid of a guy and then try to replace him. Here, you can't get people to take the job and you get worse. So the fact that Minuski's still at a job when they were doing this, I haven't even brought that up in these last couple segments, because to me, it's just not relevant. I understand that it's not a nice thing to do. It's not pleasant. The optics aren't great. It's not a non-factor to me. What I care about is that the right people are hiring the people they're supposed to be.
Of course. Empowered employees is the most important thing for a successful organization.
This would be the equivalent of, let me think of a good example. CK's boss is Phil Zachary, right? He runs our cluster here at Entercom.
The Entercom cluster.
This would be the equivalent of, Tom having some issue with us or something and him talking to Phil Zachary about it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Like, the amount of levels that should happen before that, we skipped all the levels.
And so the reason I care that Minuski's still employed and this whole thing is happening is you've got another case where the owner is superseding what the structure should be. You've employed people to do certain things for you. If they're not capable of doing those things, that's another conversation we need to have. If you don't believe that Jay Gruden, which I don't, by the way, if you don't believe that Jay Gruden is capable of hiring the right defensive coordinator, that's a conversation. You don't do this to go around, do an end run around him and foist somebody on him.
But what if it's not that he doesn't believe that Gruden can? It's that he knows he's the closer. I got to swoop in. I got to bring my biggest checkbook. I got to bring out the jet. I got to get this done, because every time I've done this, Gibbs or Shanahan or whoever,
I get my man.
I'll get my man. It's not that Gruden can't. It's that now I'm involved because I got to get my man. Let's go to Rob in Fairfax.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rob.
How you doing today?
Good, man.
Like you guys have been saying, that place out there is like a big S show, isn't it?
But,
I agree with Andre. I don't think Todd Bowles would have even considered it, because coming from his background under Joe Gibbs, you think he'd have backdoor? Like you said, who'd want to work for an owner that's backdooring a head coach? Why wouldn't, if I showed up and the head coach wasn't there, would you take that job?
Of course not. No way.
Thank you, bud.
If I was getting brought in to interview for a job doing middays at this station, and I'm walked by CK's desk by the person that's like his boss.
Yeah, and you look up and CK looks up and goes, who the
and
hell?
And he's like, what is that
what
guy
is this?
Doing? And they're like, hey, we got an opportunity for you. I really want you. You were here 25 years ago. Todd Bowles played for the Redskins. Joe Gibbs told me I should have talked to you for the head coaching job then. I made a mistake. I want you here. And I say in that interview, what's the program director think of me? Don't worry about that as much. You're going to report to me. No.
No, immediately no.
I'm not doing
that. Stop doing that. No, run.
Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock today. Chad will be live in about an hour and 10 minutes. He's with us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's
hey,
up,
buddy?
Dude?
Hey, guys. I had a question about this part of it, because I'm with you as far as treating employees. I mean, there's a long history here of not doing it the right way. But we have some evidence that Jay Gruden isn't very good at picking defensive coordinators, and that's kind of been a problem throughout his tenure here, and it's, you know, affected the team. I think I would have been more okay with it if they went to him and said, look, you're not very good at this. We're going to go out and get you somebody, because defensive coordinators get hired before head coaches in this league. Like, I don't think I necessarily have a problem with the football people that hire head coaches saying, hey, we're going to go find a DC because this is something you struggle at, and you can focus on the offensive side of the ball. It's the other surreptitious stuff. It's the, hey, don't worry about him. Report to me. If he was in the loop on it and it was just kind of a demotion, well, then, you know, suck it up. The results have dictated that this is the way that we're going to handle it. I think that's probably the stance I would take on the whole
thing. So, Chad, I think that's fair. But to your point, there's some other nuggets here from this report. Like, the thing that I can't have is he tells Bowles, according to Lock and Fora, that he'll restructure basically who he has to answer to. He'll restructure the front office if he needs to, because he's tight with Doug Williams. So he says, don't worry, you don't have to deal with Bruce Allen at all. You can just deal with Doug Williams. Those things are crippling ways to create...
It's undercutting, right?
...your organizational culture and pecking order.
Also, it just exists that Bruce Allen is horrible and that people don't want to deal with him. So when they're bringing people in that have any credibility or power whatsoever, you have to say, we know this boob is here, but don't worry, we're going to keep him away from you. Can you imagine going through? It's like if AWOT was part of the equation. You said, don't worry, he's in the mornings. You're never going to see him. We can still hire you.
But why? So that answers my question I always ask, by the way. Does Dan Snyder know what people think about Bruce Allen? That answers the question that he does. So why is he still here is my next question.
I mean, Todd Bowles knows. We know that now.
Yeah.
We know that he didn't want to have anything to do with that guy. All right, well, I love you guys in that way.
Oh, I love you too, pal. I don't get it. He's already gone. He hangs up so quick. He's such a quick hanger-upper.
Who hangs up faster, Dukes or Michael Lombardi? You remember when we had Michael Lombardi on?
Lombardi is quick on the trigger. Nobody's faster than Chad. He's the fastest hang-up in the West.
You know who you sleep on as a hanger-upper?
Who's that?
You can always hear the click. I think Tim Kirkchin is that way, too. The guys that are, like, perpetually busy.
Yeah, they're always on.
I always imagine
on, yeah.
He's just going to look up another stat. But he'll say, you be you at the end and say, Tim, thanks so much. It was, a great segment.
Tim, awesome as always. Such a pleasure. Let's get you on again soon, man, okay? Thanks.
Thanks, Danny.
Oh, my God.
God,
that's fast.
He
senses the end and just goes.
He's, you know, the fastest gun in the West?
Yeah.
Fastest hang-up in radio.
Duke, I think Dukes is the fastest that we have, certainly, on our staff.
If Dukes is a full segment guest, though, I don't think he would. I think he's calling in, so he doesn't want. He probably is. He's driving in. He's like, hey, they're in the middle of a segment.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up too much time, which he could take up as much time as he wants.
Sure, he's earned that.
So I think there's like a part where he's cognizant of, I want to get on, get off, and be done with my contribution.
I think if we had him for 20 minutes, his call would last for 20 minutes and 1 second, and that's when he would hang up.
No, I don't think he's that guy, because he calls out people who do that all the time.
He makes
fun of people on his show that have quick hang-ups.
That was a quick hang-up. But he would, for us, the idea of talking to Brendan Dar, I think, is just something he's not willing to do. We want Dar to thank him. He's pulling that ripcord.
Did you try to thank him there?
Dar reached his right hand towards the phone. He was already gone.
There's no chance I'm ever going to thank Dukes because he'll be off the phone before
then. He's
long gone. He's made a point that he doesn't want me to do it.
Well, he does. When he has guests on, I think he hangs up on them at the end of the interview rather than having them talk to the producer again, right?
As a bit, I once called back in and asked if I could speak to Jared just to say thanks for having me on.
That's good.
And he was beside himself.
I could see that.
He couldn't believe I did that.
Nate Davis, USA Today Sports, on our Super Bowl matchup. Rams-Patriots, the early line has moved. The Rams are 2.5 point dogs. We're Grant and Danny. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.